With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dobrý večer and welcome to the Bohemican Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Dow.
Good evening from Prague. I'm Pete Coleman with the Bohemican Podcast.
And I'm Travis Dow from the History of Alchemy podcast.
Welcome tonight to a special edition, a destination episode. We haven't done one of these in a while. And this time we're going to take a road trip north of Prague, quite close to the German border, to the ruins of Tolstein Castle, which is located kind of in a micro-region of Tolstein area, which is approximately 4 kilometers south of Varnsdorf.
Yeah, and Varnsdorf, by the way, is the home to the famous Kotzer Brewery, which I think that's the highlight of your show right there, and we can wrap it up and call it good.
Are we going to try that? I haven't tried that beer yet.
They sell it here in Prague, too, and it is fantastic.
Yeah? What degree do they offer?
All.
Really?
They make an IPA, they make ales, they make 10 degree, 14 degree, 16 degree.
To give folks back home, if you're not familiar with Pivo beer.
It's a fermentation grade, and it doesn't necessarily tie to alcohol or even how light or heavy it is. It's fermentation grade, and that's it. So there is usually a correlation between how much alcohol is in it and the grade, but not necessarily.
Well, beer is easily takes a conversation to a different level here, and we're digressing a little bit. But yes, I will try that beer.
But it's fantastic. They sell it here. Yeah.
So you know this castle, these ruins of this castle is a very unique castle in the sense that it was taken over several times through the course of its history. And you can see that it's nestled, you know, in between the Lusatian Mountains near the borders of Germany and Poland. A lot of bad stuff has kind of gone down there through the hundreds of years. But it has changed hands quite a bit because of its strategic location. You know, these mountains are also marked as a watershed border between the northern drains into the Baltic and the south into the North Sea. So it does have a kind of an interesting connection there.
It's actually a really interesting geographic and geological area. There's a lot of ancient kind of sandstone gorges and valleys and that kind of thing.
You know, when I drive north of Prague, when you head past Terezin and you keep going north, these mountains just kind of peak out of nowhere. It has almost of a kind of look of South Asia to it, you know, to me.
Yeah.
Just missing the rice paddies. But it has that kind of feel. The mountains are very, very pretty and very unique to this country of Czech Republic. Well, you know, taking a look at the history here, Travis, of Tolstein, why was it taken back and forth by so many different people trying to wield power here in Bohemia? Well, we have to go back to the times when the castle was built, back in 1278, as part of the Zittau region's defense structure, after the death of the Czech king, Premislav Otakar II, who was one of my favorite Bohemian kings at the time, because, well, just face it, he kicked ass. Otakar II was probably the most badass guy that ruled this kingdom. And of course, later he met a pretty rough fate, but he really took it to a lot of people. But he called this area pretty much home. He mm-hmm. wanted to really push the Bohemian borders further into Germany.
Probably the first owner of the castle was Jindrich of Lippe. The castle of Tolstein was first mentioned in 1337 by Johann von Guben, who was the kind of official chronicler of Zittau, that region. Now, since 1337, the castle was a hereditary property of Vanek of Wartenberg. And when Vanek died in 1367, Vanek's grandson Václav of Wartenberg is mentioned in 1395 as the first true occupier of the castle. So that reference is kind of the first evidence of the fact the castle was not only an administrative center, but also a residential center of the kind of dominion, right?
So around 1400, the Tolstein dominion of the castle descended to the Heidnik Berka of Duba, one of the wealthiest Czech noblemen of the day. During the Hussite Wars, the castle was owned by the Kallensteins, but one of its later owners, Albrecht Berka of Duba, was a ardent Catholic and an adversary of George of Pobrady. George of Pobrady ordered the castle to be seized, so he was one of the first ones to actually take this castle by force. Since it was in the border region, it sees many conflicts over the centuries, as we mentioned before.
After many kind of events where Tolstein went back and forth and, you know, switched hands by force, it was bought in 1471 by Saxon princes Ernst and Albrecht, and then in 1485, the castle became the property of Haugold of Schleinitz. And in the 16th century, castles kind of were falling out of favor to be, you know, permanently inhabited. Instead, in the Renaissance time, aristocrats kind of began building these more comfortable palaces, you know, instead of just this thick, cold
giant
fortress.
Chateaus. And you'll see them all throughout Czech Republic.
All over the place.
Yeah, no one really wanted, and this includes some of the biggest names that you think would be accustomed to these places, including like the famous King Charles the Fourth. He hated these dank, sort of
dark
castles.
And they're cold and they're hard to heat up. And
yeah, and as you know, siege weapons sort of advanced. Castles that were built anywhere from the 1400s to the 1500s became pretty much out of date and easily taken by better siege weaponry. So a lot of these folks decided to use it as an area to kind of for defenses of some sort, but they moved to, as you said, Travis, much more glorified residences that were considered, what we consider chateaus, that were kind of redone a little later on in the 18th century.
Yeah. So we know that by 1607, the castle was definitely deserted and considered abandoned. But when the 30 Years' War hit, that kind of marked the end of that castle because it was occupied by the army of the Austrian emperor, but then besieged and burnt down by the Swedish general Wrangel.
Now, when the Swedes had come through Bohemia, trying to sack Prague, went on to surround the other big city of Brno in the Moravia. They did a lot of damage before they left the Bohemian lands to go back to Sweden. And unfortunately, this was one of the places they did a number on. So, Travis, we look at this now, and we see this is pretty much when the official history of the castle is finished. But the ruins are still used long after for what we know as outlaw knights.
Yeah, actually, I dug up a good story for you about that. Now, in the period of the kind of romantic revival in the late 19th century, kind of awoke the interest of the history of the castle again. So in 1865, Johann Joseph Münzbeck rented the castle and built an inn in a Swiss manor, which was in operation until 1977. So you could actually kind of, like an inn, you could stay in the ruins. Today, it's a great little place to visit. It's a great kind of, you know.
It's a day trip. I mean, it really isn't that long, about an hour and a half north of Prague, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not that far. Maybe an hour and 10 minutes.
Something like that, yeah. Maybe call it an hour and something. But in fact, you mentioned at the very beginning that is, you know, in the center of Tolstein micro region, basically. And that was specifically created in 1999 to give it its own little administration part of the country so that, you know, they could kind of manage their tourism a little better. But let me tell you about one of these outlaw knights. So there's a story I came across, and it's the good robber, in quotes, I'm doing air quotes right now, but he's known as the good robber Vilda. There's not, honestly, not much known about him in real life, but only, you know, kind of stories and legends and in the local region there. But he was a kind of solitary, but good-natured knight, but also a rogue and outlaw. And that kind of would play tricks on many travelers of his time, more than outright rob them. So the story goes that his roots go way back to Albrecht Berka of Duba, who you mentioned. Most of his life was kind of spent in secret somewhere around Tolstein. And allegedly, this good robber Vilda was the only one who knew the location of the Tolstein treasure. So there's a treasure supposedly there, and you can go find it. Nobody knows where and how he died. So, therefore, this mystery kind of is still out there and remains for us to find.
And basically, this tells you why this is one of the more visited ruins in all of Czech Republic, maybe because of the castle.
But not just the treasure. Even good robber Vilda has kind of a Bigfoot quality about him, or maybe Elvis, because the last time he was seen was on the 2nd of June, 1901. So this is like seeing Elvis in like 2563 going like, no, I swear I saw him. His mysterious disappearance gave rise to many stories that, you know, eventually some historians or ethnologists or someone will figure out. Yeah, Tolstein and Warnsdorf and that whole place is like spitting distance from the German border. I mean, it's like a kilometer or two away, so you could easily walk there. In fact, it's really funny. If you look this up on Google Maps, the border is crazy zigzag, like insanely zigzag. And so if you walk in a straight line, you might cross the border a good dozen times, which makes me wonder how that part of the Iron Curtain looked like, because it's like all these exclaves and enclaves and whatever, because what I was told was after World War I, when Czechoslovakia became independent, each village could vote on whether they wanted to be part of Germany or Czechoslovakia. So some that have German names, like Warnsdorf, are Czech, but others that have kind of Czech name are names are on the German side in Saxony. And so it's really like there's just a water drop looking thing sticking out of the country with a road going towards a village, but it's in Germany, but it's surrounded on like three sides by Czech Republic or vice versa. So if you just walk in a straight line through the fields, you just, you know, Germany, Austria, or Germany, Czech Republic, Germany, Czech Republic, like over and over. So yeah, that stretch of the Iron Curtain must have been kind of confusing. But so back to Tolstein, the middle of the ruins, you can walk up and down stairs and kind of go up to where the tower used to be and down towards the center, towards the courthouse. But in the middle of the ruins, which must have been where this old Swiss-style inn was, there's a restaurant, and you can sit, and there's a nice view. There's a nice view on all parts of the ruins because, you know, top of a hill, like ruins are wont to be. But they had pretty good food. They had really good dessert. I ate myself silly, and they sell Kotsur beer.
Beer, I was going to say, and you definitely had the beer.
Yeah, and it's actually, you could actually drive up to the castle. There's good parking. The restaurant's kind of neat because if you can even call it like a day or two ahead and order like huge roast pig or stuffed roast goose or that kind of thing. So it's a pretty neat place.
So I think what's nice about this is that it's a living ruin in the sense that there's a lot of people that come through either hiking or biking through that area or specifically going to the castle to see it for its historical purposes, and, you know, taking a nice day hike to get out there. This is one of many castle ruins throughout the Czech Republic.
Oh, but one thing I got to add, if you're looking for the treasure, don't bother, because I already found it.
What was it?
Well, I was up there with my colleague, Vince, and he's one of those geocacher guys. We found like three treasures there.
It was a barrette. You found a barrette.
It was like some keychains.
Nice.
And like a Cinderella figure.
That might be the worst treasure story I think I've ever heard.
Actually, it was. Vince is he's a pretty hardcore geocacher. The one near the castle there was the biggest. It was actually a treasure chest.
Yeah,
you showed
me the picture.
Yeah, and he said it was the biggest, most intricate, and best one he's ever seen. And it was like under a pile of rocks, and you know, in this big plastic container, so it wouldn't get wet. And then a treasure chest it's pretty cool.
So if you're lucky and you're good at geocaching, you might find one of these treasure chests left behind, or you might actually find this legend of the real treasure.
Good Robert Vildas.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I think we talked about this before, Travis. You could spend years, decades here in Czech Republic looking at castles, chateaus, and ruins of castles and chateaus, and you'll never get to all of them. I mean, they are scattered everywhere. And it really gives you something to do on the weekends, you know, when you want to go out and either go biking or take a hike or just take a car out into the country someplace. And you're going to, you know, see signs on the side of the road or these hiking trails. And you just, you know, it makes for a really good day out and something very neat to see that's got a historical spin on it. We want to thank you very much for listening tonight to this very special episode, a destination episode on the Bohemican Podcast. Be sure to visit bohemican.com for more information on all things Czech from an American expat viewpoint, of course. And we want to thank you for listening tonight.
Yep, thank you very much.
You have been listening to the Bohemican Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Doe. Visit bohemican.com for more information on this episode, other episodes, and much more information about history, traditions, and culture in the Czech Republic. Find us on iTunes, subscribe, and review, and don't forget to rate us. We would love to hear from you. Send comments, ideas, and corrections on our comments page on bohemican.com. Or get in touch via Facebook or Twitter. Tune in to our sister podcast, History of Alchemy, which is also on iTunes or on historyofalchemy.com. Until next time on the Bohemican Podcast, thank you for listening.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.